and welcome. It's our number two of the Ben Maller Show as we give out more hardware. The Bennies this hour, among the awards giving out, the Rookie Caller of the Year, the Top Game Show Contestant, and the Best Show Marketing of the Year 2020, as we celebrate that in the 2021 Benny Awards. And the beginning of the hour, though, dedicated to a Maller monologue about Lamar Jackson, who's engaging in contract negotiations with the Baltimore Ravens. We give advice to Baltimore on what they should do with Lamar Jackson. That and more is coming your way right now in hour number two. For the birds, welcome in the beginning of another hour. It's the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we filibuster coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR, emanating live from deep inside the theater of the mind. It's Big Nine on the Show. We're going to give out more awards for the Bennies coming up in a little bit, but our lead this hour comes from the negotiating table. Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens are reportedly in the early stages of an intense contract extension negotiation. Have you heard the latest? Probably not. You were doing other stuff. So here's what we're hearing. We are hearing that there is a giant chasm early on, and these sides are far apart. Now, you could say that's standard operating procedure, that you have an idea of what you're worth, the team has an idea of what you're worth, and then you have to meet in the middle. Now, one problem for Lamar Jackson is that he still has 2 years left on his rookie deal and is making peanuts at this particular point by NFL standards. So Lamar Jackson's resume, pretty impressive, much more impressive than I thought it would be, including 3 playoff appearances in 3 seasons. He is also the NFL's 2019 most valuable player, first team All-Pro that year, Pro Bowl selection. And Baltimore, in the 37 games Lamar Jackson has started, has won 30 of them. They're 30-7 when he has started a regular season game as the quarterback. So let us discuss the question. You are the Ravens, right? What do you do here? What's the move? You're the advisor to the Baltimore Ravens. I'm going to go first, but you help the Ravens out. What should the Ravens do in this negotiation with Lamar Jackson? So my observations, you've got highway etiquette, safety net, and kryptonite. And we will lock all these things together. Now, number one. As an independent voice in the night, I'm here to help out Baltimore. Right, I am. Right now, they're essentially getting a thermometer out of the medicine cabinet, right? One of those oversized thermometers. Take the temperature of the room. That's the first thing you do. You do your due diligence. That's apparently what's going on here. You explore all avenues. Now, the Ravens, what they have to do, after they find out the number, clearly they've already done that. Lamar Jackson's group has given a number, his posse, and then the Ravens' posse comes back and has their own number. So once you've done that, you've taken the temperature of the room, you then need to use good highway etiquette. Now, good highway etiquette, if you're a fast driver, you drive in the fast lane. If you're not, you go in one of the other lanes. So the advice here is to change lanes. Instead of driving in the fast lane or the middle lane, down throttle and move over to the lane nearest the shoulder and put the car in cruise control in a place called the slow lane. All right, so you want to drive in the slow lane if you're the Ravens. Now, the second thing here, there's obviously no need to rush in to an extension if you're the team. Now, I understand why Lamar Jackson would want the contract extension. He's got 2 years left on the rookie deal, and he is making, in 2021, he's going to make $1.7 million. Now, if I told you you were going to make $1.7 million this year, you would be orgasmic. I would be the same way. I would be, oh my God, that's an amazing amount of money. This is a great mitzvah. I've won the lottery, $1.7 million. But in that business, that's nothing. That's chump change, right? So that means, though, the Ravens can reallocate that salary in theory and push it back around the roster there and put better players around Lamar Jackson. The key advantage, we've said this from the very beginning here, if you look at the maneuvering with the salary cap and the shenanigans that take place, that rookie contract, you want to milk that. You don't want to end that prematurely. You want to drag that out to the end, and then the IOUs come due, and you have to pay the big money. And, you know, so if you're Baltimore, you take your foot off the gas, you buy yourself a little more time under the rookie contract, and based on the regular season resume, Lamar Jackson is going to get paid. Whether I think he should get paid or not, he is making chicken feed right now by sports standards, but that's about to have a dramatic sea change. And the Ravens, though, even when they do pay him the big money, the advice would be short-term, right? Short-term. I'd give 2 years, three-year contract, no more than 3 years. Now, that's if I'm running the team, right? And listen, Lamar as the center, the omnipresent center of the Ravens universe, wonderful, but provide yourself with what we call a safety net. A safety net. The highly reckless nature of the style of Lamar Jackson, well, all quarterbacks are injury risk. Lamar Jackson, at his peak superpowers, is even more so because of the amount of times he carries the football and has to carry the football. So if you're the Ravens, you insulate yourself from the glass slipper cracking. And you know, even when you give out the big contracts, you still move money around and whatnot. But if I'm running a team, I go no more than 3 years. All right, final point on this. So Lamar Jackson has been able to sidestep his way past defenders with the ground game enhancing the passing. And he has defied my tremendously low expectations. If you listen here, I look like a total donkey when Lamar went out and exploded on the scene during his MVP campaign. Seemed like a glitch in a video game. It was a cheat code in a video game. Now, nevertheless, the Ravens should be cautious, as I have laid out going forward. Now, why is that? There are clear and obvious chinks in the armor that Lamar Jackson has to overcome. His kryptonite is throwing outside the numbers. Now, the Ravens have been able to get to the playoffs, and they've had a lot of regular season success. Pro Football Focus, the nerds over there, had the numbers last season that Lamar Jackson, last time they updated the numbers, Lamar was completing 56%, just 56%, that's it, of throws outside the number. This was a criticism coming into the NFL. That was the second lowest percentage in the entire league behind Mitch Trubisky of your Chicago Bears. You say, well, it doesn't matter. The Ravens are winning. That's fine. Okay. And I will tip my cap and say, yes, the Ravens are winning. They are winning in the regular season. But then you have the Komodo Dragon in the room. Playoff Lamar. That's another thing that if you're the Ravens, and if you love the Ravens, this gives you indigestion, gives you a little heartburn. The Ravens have played in four postseason games. They are 1-3 in the playoffs with Lamar Jackson as the quarterback. And as a pure passer, he has been futile, a failure in playoff action. It's not my opinion. It's just a fact. All right. Now, what's my evidence? Now, Lamar Jackson has 3 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He's passed for 900 yards in those 4 playoff games, completing less than 56% of his passes, and the yards per attempt, 6.6 yards per attempt. And even those numbers are inflated because of that turnover game that he had against the Tennessee Titans a couple years ago where he kept throwing the ball and adding his passing yard total. But the numbers are skewed. Even by that standard, they're skewed. So the back of the napkin math, if you look at the back of the napkin math, it says that Lamar Jackson's passer rating in the postseason is below 70. That's terrible. I don't think there's any way you can spin that. As a passer, Lamar Jackson has been a failure in the playoffs. Now, the Ravens did win a playoff game this past year with the Tennessee Titans, and that was in part because Lamar was able to matriculate the ball on the ground. But if you look at the book of Lamar and how to stop this guy, the runaway locomotive. How do you stop Lamar Jackson? Well, you want to jump out to an early lead. You always want to jump out to an early lead, but it's really a big mountain to climb for Lamar. He's so dependent on the running game. But if you can get yourself in a position where Lamar Jackson has to win a game with his arm and not his legs in the playoffs, if you eliminate the running game, well, you are in a much more advantageous position to win a postseason game against Lamar Jackson. And so that's where we find ourselves. The Ravens have a decision to make, and will they tear up the rookie contract and pay the man the money, or will they say, no, we're going to wait a little bit, we'll slow walk this, drive in the slow lane, which is what I'm advising here. The Maller advice: should listen to your favorite overnight gas bag. Very important. All right, here's the Ben Maller Show. Now, this is a special night on the program. It is the Bennies, and if you missed last hour, we give out a number of awards, some of them not voted on by listeners. There were staff awards included on that list, special achievement categories. Weedman Hippie was a winner last hour, so was Hollering James for Moment of the Year on the show when he fell asleep during one of our game shows and still was able to win the game show. Tremendous. Social Media Contributor of the Year, we gave that one out as well. Congratulations to Just Josh in Cincinnati, the big winner there, Social Media Contributor of 2020. Straight ahead, the drama building. It's a black tie affair. I'm wearing my bow tie. If you don't believe me, go to the Facebook page or the Instagram page. I took a photo there. What a nerd. Boy, do I look bad. But you can see a photo of an ugly radio guy wearing a bow tie, if you want, dressed up for radio. A face that only was made for radio. Instagram page is Ben Maller on Fox. Hey, like our page while you're there. And also the Facebook show page, which is Ben Maller Show. Straight ahead, so many new voices in the year 2020 as we celebrate that year here in 2021. But who was the 2020 Rookie Caller of the Year? The Rated Rookie. We'll get to that. Best game show contestant and more. We'll get to it all, and we will do it next.
Hey, Mona.
Mona.
Whoa, 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 Mona.
Mona.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, hey, hey. Mona.
Yeah. Hi, Mona.
Whoa, 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 Mona.
Mona!
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We are always looking to proliferate the Maller Militia, help our grassroots movement, add new listeners to the show, support our noble efforts by posting comments about the Ben Maller Show on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and all other social media. You have the power to influence others to join the cult of the Ben Maller Show. And now live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Well, we have yet to have an acceptance speech for the Bennies. Are we about to have that? Are we about to have an acceptance speech giving out hardware here? Yes, we are. And let's welcome in now the winner of the Top Power Hour in the year 2020. Now to give his speech, Sean the Hood Guy here. Welcome in, Sean the Hood Guy.
Hey, man, I just want to get this acceptance speech to all the Maller Militia homies and all the Maller Militia homegirls, all the fans of the show, you guys, y'all the bosses of the family. I call this radio. I lost last year because I lost Call of the Year last year, but I said I got to step my game up. And I reached out to Ben. I told him, hey, if you need me to come on to tell some stories, to kill some time when we didn't have no sports, I did it because I love the show. I'm down with Big Ben and nobody else. So I love everybody from the show, you know, that calls in. Everybody, I don't have no beef with nobody. I love everybody that calls the show because we're all family. We keep each other up at night laughing and talking about sports and other things. So it's just an honor to, you know, to accept this speech, had this, accept this award for you guys. And, hey, man, I'm just honored to be, part of the militia, man.
Well, congratulations. You earned it. Tremendous job. Remember that power hour finally with Sean the Hood Guy, I know this is a game-changing event, Sean. Your life is going to change in amazing ways now that you've won a Benny. So
yeah, I know, man. Doors are open, and all my half my life, I always had doors slammed in my face, or maybe more even open. But if you want me to, man, I can give y'all a exclusive, hoods from Tales from the Hood, since I won this Benny tonight. If you guys want to hear it.
Well, sure, yes. Who doesn't want to hear Tales from the Hood with Sean the Hood Guy?
Okay, so this story right here, I'm about to tell you guys, be careful about who you pick up that's calling for rides and stuff like this, okay? So this happened in maybe in the early 90s. One morning I was at home asleep, and my phone was constantly ringing. And I was like, man, who keep calling me? So I finally answered the phone. It was some of the other homeboys from different hoods that I lived in at the time. And they needed to ride somewhere. So I was like, where y'all trying to go? And they was like, well, you know, I'm trying to go to West Covina, El Monte. I'm like, that's kind of far. I don't have no gas for that. They like, we'll give you gas money. Just come pick us up. We need you. It's an emergency. So I'm like, okay. So I go pick them up. Where I picked them up at, they was hiding out in an abandoned apartment building. I'm like, why y'all hiding out in an abandoned apartment building? Because they can't run into the car sweating, looking crazy. I'm like, why y'all hiding in there? What y'all doing in there? They like, man, just drive. I'm like, what's going on? And they never told me. So the whole time we riding, I think it was the 60 I was riding on, and they was like, they was arguing back and forth. It was two of them. They both was arguing back and forth, like, why'd you do it? Why you do it? We in trouble. I was like, what's going on? They would never tell me. So he gave me $50 for dropping them off. I'm like, man, what happened, man? What's going on? I kept asking, and they would never tell me. Like, man, don't worry about it. Just drive. So later on that evening, when I dropped them off, I got back home. I came downstairs. I was going to the kitchen to get something to eat. My grandmother, she was sitting in the Lazy Boy watching TV. I thought she was asleep, so I walked right past her and went in the kitchen to fix something to eat. Then when I came back, I was walking past her again, and she grabbed me by the arm. And she turned me around and pointed at the TV, and she was watching Unsolved Mysteries.
Uh-oh.
And the TV show, both their faces, have you seen these two men because they did this and they did that? And she was like, ain't that such and such and such and such? I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, I just dropped them off, you know?
Oh, no.
So I'm Jeez. Like, they killed somebody and didn't even tell me, you know?
And
yeah, my grandmother's like, wasn't they outside the other day over here the other day at the house the other day? I said, yeah, they was here, but I didn't even tell her, like, you know, they was just in the car with me a couple of hours ago.
Whoa, man, you were like the getaway driver or
and
whatever, but
what
you didn't realize
I did.
It.
I told the same story to one of my ex-girlfriends, and one of my ex-girlfriends, she slapped me and told me I was done for picking them up, but I told her I didn't know that they had did that, and she said, you could have been the accessory to all that stuff that they did. They police would have saw you guys, and you would have been in jail with them. So evidently, the guys got caught, and they end up doing double life.
Wow, that's wild, Sean. That's
man, I wanted to go upstairs and call Unsolved Mysteries so bad on them, but you know, I had to keep the street cold, you know, not ratting on nobody or nothing like that. So you know, I just left it alone. But I said, well, they did wrong. When you do wrong, you do get caught for it. So that's just a lesson in life. Don't do no wrong because you will get caught for it. So just live your life. And just like you say, Big Ben, what's your favorite word? Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane. That's
exactly.
Right. Yes.
Stay in your lane and mind your own business and walk a straight line. You live a cool life. Don't get in no trouble. Just stay away from it.
Keep your nose clean. I appreciate everybody
from the Benny tonight, man. I love y'all.
Thank you. Congratulations, Sean the Hood Guy. Look at that. He went to pick up a couple of guys he knew in the neighborhood, wouldn't tell him what was going on, and they were on one of those TV shows about committing a murder. That's crazy. All right. Time to give out another Benny Award. This one for Rookie Caller of the Year. Rookie Caller of the Year on the Ben Maller Show. The nominees for Rookie Caller of the Year. Blind Seahawk fan Emmett. Beer drinking Brian and a half pint from Kansas City. 00 Mexican, San Diego. Spin Cycle Regina in Minnesota. Mason the Millennial from the Bay Area. Charlie in San Antonio. And Fats in Philadelphia. Those are the nominees for the 2020 Rookie Caller of the Year on the Bennies. Envelope, please. And the 2020 Benny Award for Rookie Caller of the Year goes to beer drinking Brian and Half Pint from Kansas City. Congratulations. What an impact. What a contribution. What a gift. We got to live our lives through beer drinking Brian and a Half Pint riding their tractor to the Walmart to get some smokes and some booze and whatnot. So congratulations to them. A convincing sound victory for Rookie Call of the Year, which, being the rookies that they are, the first Benny Awards for both beer drinking and Brian and a Half Pint. Was there any surprise here? I don't think there was much surprise that the beer drinking Brian.
Yeah,
and
not
Half Pint,
a shocker. Not a shocker.
Yeah, I enjoyed the contribution of Fats in Philadelphia and all the people that were in this, Regina. But like, Fats didn't call that much. Regina, you know, she was all over the place. Double O Mexican was solid, but he was more of a Twitter guy than a call-in guy. And Emmett was very good, but Emmett came on late. Charlie's very annoying in San Antonio. Mason doesn't call that much, so, you know, congratulations.
I think Charlie, you know, he's got a bright future ahead of him.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, he's the guy that doesn't win Rookie of the Year but could win an MVP award down the line. Could win like a caller
of
the year.
Right,
yeah. All right. Next up for us, as we continue to hand out the Benny Awards, this is a big one. This is a big one. Here we go. Best Game Show Contestant. Best Game Show Contestant. Now, we have a lot of different wacky game shows here. A lot of goofy, wacky game shows and whatnot on the program. And we have many people that love to play the game. Some people don't want to even listen to the show. They just want to play the games, and they don't really care what we say or anything about that at all, which is fine. Whatever. To each their own. And certain people stand out as game show contestants. Now, the finalists, the nominees here for Game Show Contestant of the year 2020 are as follows. Justin in Cincinnati, Hollerin' James, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Charlie, San Antonio, Double O Mexican, and Lenny the Crypt Keeper from South Florida, a fellow game show whore. So those are the nominees. The envelope, please. And the winner of the 2020 Best Game Show Contestant of the Year on the Bennies goes to Justin in Cincinnati. Congratulations, wow. Justin. All your hard work paying off, not having a life and listening to the show every night, all night long, clearly giving dividends out. So congratulations to Justin in Cincinnati. He is the winner of the Game Show Contestant of the Year. And again, this is another one of those categories that was not all that close. It was an overwhelming vote total. We had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that voted, and the consensus was that Justin in Cincinnati was the top game show contestant. In fact, he got over 50% of the popular vote, which is a tremendous, tremendous vote total. It was over early.
This actually made me curious, Ben, because, you know, obviously Justin's a powerhouse when it comes to sports trivia.
Yeah.
And you would think regular callers of a sports talk radio show would know more about sports than they do. But he had such a convincing victory, and he's won this award for many years in a row now. And I wanted to see, like, what's the closest anybody's come to beating him in the past?
Uh-huh.
And I go back to the 2017 Benny Awards, and it was actually a pretty close between him and Mr. Moose.
Oh, the late, great Mr. Yes. Moose. Legend. A legend, Mr. Moose. That's right. Oh, so do you think Justin made a phone call? I mean, Mr. Moose is not around anymore. Man.
There was somebody else nominated that year that I don't remember at all.
Who's that?
Ryan in Portland.
Oh, yeah. Ryan called for a while, was a total game show whore, and then just vanished. He's one of those guys like vanished in the middle. Like, so these guys come in here, they make a big impact, and then they go back to the day shift, and then
or
they get arrested, and we lose track of them. So whatever happens first. All right. Well, we have the best show marketing. We have the best show marketing in the year 2020. Members of the Maller Militia that went above and beyond the call of duty to help promote the Ben Maller Show. We have no advertising budget. As you know, we're just a little overnight show here. You're never going to see a billboard. You're never going to see a TV commercial. You're never going to see any of that kind of advertising to promote this show. It's all word of mouth advertising, and members of the Maller Militia, again, going above and beyond the call of duty.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Now, Ben, if you're someone of a certain age, you might remember Irv Cross. He passed away on Sunday at the age of 81. Back in the day, this was groundbreaking sports television. It was called the NFL Today.
Brent Musburger.
Brent Musburger, Phyllis George, Irv Cross, and Jimmy the Greek Snyder. So you had Musburger was like the media guy. You had the, you know, the novelty of having a woman on there talking about sports. Irv Cross was the former player, and Jimmy the Greek was the odds guy. And there was never anything like this on TV before. Now it's everybody does this type of a thing, right?
Everyone copied that
format. But they were the first. Yeah. And Irv Cross passed away. He was a former NFL player. And so now Brent Musburger is the only one of that group that is still with us. Yeah.
Wow. Brent's living the good life in Vegas.
He is.
He's running a gambling network
still
in Vegas.
Still doing the Raiders on radio, staying active.
Good for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
How old is Brent Musburger? He's got to be around the same age. Irv Cross was 81, you said, I think.
Yes.
Is that right?
Let me look real quick.
Musburger's got to be in his 80s at this point.
And the computer says he is 81.
Okay, so the same age there. Yeah. There you go. That's got to be weird, though, if you're Musburger. You know, you think you get to a certain age and, like, all the people you worked with and were around are not around anymore. It's like, whoa. You're like the last one standing. It's crazy, but I guess you'd rather be that than the other, right? I mean,
I suppose so, yes.
Yeah, beats the alternative. But rest in peace, Irv Cross. What a impact. You know, we're around the same age, Eddie, and we used to watch that. Because that, you know, back in the Stone Age when Irv Cross was doing that with Jimmy the Greek and Phyllis George and Musburger, you didn't have the internet to get information. So
they were your
information. Now, the pregame shows are pretty much just laugh fest where they just laugh all the time and tell jokes.
No, it's not really something that you need to watch to know about the league. You can know on your own. You don't need anybody to tell you about it.
It's a lot of fluff. It's a lot of fluff now. But back, you know, back in our day, Eddie, it was meat and potatoes.
I don't know.
We served meat and potatoes.
I'm a little older than you, but I still remember very, very fondly, and I was not a big Howard Cosell fan. But I remember Monday Night Football with Howard Cosell and the halftime highlights.
Yeah, you guys are old.
I know. The halftime highlights were like, every week, because you didn't see the highlights. Howard Cosell would do the halftime highlights. He would narrate it, and they would show highlights of all the big plays from around the league. That's the only time you saw them. And, you know, it was like, and it was NFL films. Oh, it was great. Now you can find it anything.
And then originally after that, like a few years after that, was like the George Michael Sports Machine came around. And they had that on the weekends and the Sunday night. And then eventually everything kind of kicked in there for a while. All right. We have this is not a speech celebrating an acceptance speech. This is a concession speech. Mason the Millennial is calling in here. He did not win in his category there for Rookie Caller of the Year. Hello, Mason the Millennial.
No, I didn't win, but I was honored to be nominated. I know it was I've been here for a while, but, you know, I started calling in 2020, I feel like. But it is what it is. Brian deserved that. I'm not going to weep and cry and stop listening to the show. But
You sure about that? You positive about that?
We've
had that happen. Yeah, you could have hung up. That's true. You want to hang up now?
No, I'm good. No. But the reason I didn't really have a good campaign was because, like, I've been working at Tesla. I started a new job there, building cars.
Oh, buy the stock.
Yeah, I got good stock options. I learned what that word means.
Yeah. That's great. So you actually make the Teslas? What do you do? What part of the Tesla do you make?
I actually make the seats for the new 2021, and it's like such a crazy process. That factory's insane. Like,
yeah,
big bucks everywhere you look. But
now,
do you
drive, Mason? Do you drive a Tesla?
No,
you do not. But you work at Tesla, but do not actually drive. Okay, I got you. I got you. All right.
Now I work nights, so now I'm able to call in and listen as I work, hopefully. But yeah, I'll be able to call in.
All right. Well, we got to move on, Mason, but thank you. I'm so glad you are giving a few minutes, a concession speech from Mason, the millennial, a big shot over there at Tesla. The wave of the future. All right, we only have time for one more award this hour because we have Mallard of the Third Degree. So let's do the best show marketing, the best show marketing of the year 2020. We celebrate that with the 2021 Bennies. The nominees for top show marketing on the Ben Maller Show in the year 2020 are Shell Shock with the Maller Maneuver drink at a road stop bar in Colorado. Move-In Man Matt with the mobile billboard, the Move-In billboard on his big rig, driving out of Boston across the United States from coast to coast. Andrea, the sports astrologer, Virgo in service on Twitter. She made an appearance on CBS Sunday morning, and they gave us a shout-out on that very popular staple of Americana on Sunday morning. And the last nominee for Best Show Marketing Moment of the Year 2020, Fats in Philadelphia. The night of the NFL draft, it was a viral video. Fats lit himself on fire and screamed, "Ben Maller!" Just like that. It was an amazing thing. And we can nominate him because he did not die. He apparently does this all the time. He lights his chest hair on fire and screams random things. And that was not the only time Fats starred in a viral video. He also followed the teachings of Doc Mike and showed us all of Fats. The little Fats as well. All right. So those are the nominees. The envelope, please. The envelope, please. All right. I'm being handed the envelope. All right. And the Benny for the top show marketing moment of 2020 goes to Andrea, the astrologer from Berkeley, for her appearance on CBS Sunday morning. Congratulations. She edges out Fats in Philadelphia very, very close there. Moving Man Matt also. For a while, it was neck and neck between those three, so congratulations to all involved. But Andrea in Berkeley, the big winner there, she picks up the Benny, and if you did not see that, she tweeted it out. I retweeted it, but CBS Sunday Morning put a clip before the Super Bowl about some of the sports astrology angles to the Super Bowl and sports gambling, and she was in that, and so she had our Twitter timeline in there and gave us a little pop there on that program. So we do thank her for that. Mallard of the Third Degree is straight ahead. Here's the Insta trivia. Among goaltenders, that's right, goaltenders to be a franchise's first to 100 wins, Marc-Andre Fleury of the Golden Knights, he acquired the second fewest games to reach the milestone, trailing only blank. Again, Marc-Andre Fleury of Vegas needed only the second fewest games to reach 100 wins, reach that milestone, trailing only blank. That's the Insta trivia. The answer next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Most are unable to lend an ear to the Ben Maller Show all night long, but with podcasting, you can get caught up on unique show moments you may have missed. Ben Maller Show podcast is available on iHeart and wherever you get your podcasts, a piece of cake, and upsets the corporate guys. And now live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
All right, we got to get to it right now. No more dilly-dallying at all. No, 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 no. We must do it. Time now for the Insta Trivia made possible by Farmers. Call Farmers today for a quote. Among goaltenders to be a franchise's first to 100 wins, Marc-Andre Fleury of Vegas needed only the second fewest games to reach that mark, trailing only blank. That is the question. What's the answer? Jason in Rocky Mount, Virginia is going the Cincinnati Bros is his answer. Justin in Cincinnati says, Robbie, the Mariner fan. Roberto Gump Worsley, guessed by Alf the Alien Opiner. David in Seattle, who knows where all the good restaurants are, is going with Her Royal Highness Queen Elizabeth II as his answer. Who else do we have? Page down here, page down. Jim Carrey, guessed by Chris in Des Moines. Terry Sawchuk from the Late Night Drug Tester, not for average, is going with Curtis Joseph as his selection. Homer Simpson from Mr. Nice Guy. Page down here, page down. All right, do you have an answer, Eddie? Please, hurry up.
Martin Brodeur.
No, somebody named Tiny Thompson for the
Boston Bruins.
Boston Bruins. Tiny Thompson. Was he really tiny, Eddie? I don't know.
It was before my time.
All right, before my time, too. But Tiny Thompson needed 158 games, 10 fewer than Marc-Andre Fleury. Here we go.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Made possible by Farmers. Call 1-888-FARMERS. You can save a whole lot of something on auto insurance. Kubalu.
Tua Tagovailoa said over the weekend that Devonta Smith won't have to change much to succeed in the NFL. Now, Ben, do you think that Smith is as much of a slam dunk as everyone else does?
Well, one thing I've learned is nothing is guaranteed. Devontae Smith has no red flags other than maybe his thin frame. He's got tremendous ability. The skill set is there to dominate the NFL. And while I am 95% sold he will be good, the NFL draft is filled with a graveyard of can't-miss receivers who missed. Ashley Lalee of your Broncos, Justin Blackmon, Braylon Edwards, David Boston. You want me to go on? So there is no guarantee. Next!
Now, after a comfortable win over the Grizzlies on Friday, Paul George was asked what kind of a difference Ty Lue makes for the Clippers. He said that Lue really shines at making adjustments. Do you agree with him, Ben?
Yeah, well, the jury is still out on Ty Lue, and I don't care what the Clippers do in the regular season. It's all about the postseason, and Doc Rivers' weakness is in-game coaching. I'm not yet sold on Ty Lue, but I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt once the postseason comes around. That's the ultimate judging ground for the Clippers. Next!
There was a video over the weekend of Knicks fans celebrating as the team reached 500. They're now one game over 500. That's saying something in the Eastern Conference. That's good enough for fourth place.
Yeah.
Ben, do the Knicks finish the season over 500?
Well, it was the poet T.S. Eliot that wrote, "Enjoy the journey, not just the destination." I say yes. They're actually trying. Randall's playing very well. This guy Emmanuel Quickley, has played well as well. I say they do end up a little bit above 500 because the East sucks. How'd we do, Koopaloo?
You fail, Ben.
What? What?
I don't have time to explain to you.
That's a bad job. Worst judge of the year, Koopaloo, right there.